gonna break it down, break it down, break it down. Gonna break it down, break it down, break it down.
Microphone check two, mic check one. Gotta click a real nigga.
Forgive us, you know, I think we missed a week or something. We are starving artists trying to get ourselves together. So we're gonna put B in charge of that. Shy B, what's happening?
What's up? Real women of St. Louis.
St. Louis. Real women.
I forgot to say, we got to make sure we say something to make Harlem just look at us and then put her icon up, how she was doing us last time.
Listen. Real women.
Yeah, that's my jam.
Oh, man. We've been gone. We're back. This is episode 9. Life been going on for me, and I'm sure Shad and B as well. We were actually off the scenes talking about my haircut, or actually lack thereof. I have only had two haircuts since March, and I remember the exact days of those haircuts. So I got the haircut on March 13th because that was the day before 314 day, and I had DJ on 314 day. Then I got a haircut on June 25th because my homeboy got married on the 26th. So those are my two haircuts I've had since March. So why haven't I gotten a haircut, you might ask, right? Because barbers are out here being whores, bro, and they not covering their faces.
Wow.
You gonna say that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just being real. Like, you know, I'm not gonna put my bar. I'm out here being a little, you know, barber chair hopper right now, a little hoe in the barber shop, because I'm not sitting in one chair and I feel bad about it. So, did y'all see that on Twitter where they was talking about they had dudes stories of their barbers, bro? No, yes, no.
No, I'm not on Twitter. Wow. I haven't been on Twitter in probably about 7 years.
So this, I don't know any of the Twitter handle names or anything. So forgive me if I shout you out. Nah, I don't know. I'm shouting you out. So this guy put up a tweet, and he basically was saying, you know, like black men go through the same kind of torment that black women go through in relationships, because of, but except for they go through it with their barber. So like hella dudes start putting their barber stories in the thread. So it was like hella funny. So this dude said, one stuck out. Dude said, yeah, so my barber got locked up. So I had to go to another barber for a little while, and he came out and called me. And he said, I didn't really know how to show up to him. You know, he said, I felt kind of forced into the situation. He said, how do you respond? He said he felt like Jody when Snoop came back.
It'd be like that, though. I switched barbers. I hope you don't watch this podcast.
My son was just talking about that today. Like, his barber's a little bit older. Mm-hmm. So, like, he showed him, you know how these kids are. He showed him a picture of how he wanted his haircut.
Oh, no.
And I think, like, one side is, like, a little bit off from the other side, and he was like, see, this is what I'm talking about, and I really want to go to the other barber in the shop, but they're in the same shop. So like, how do you navigate that, like, as a man? Like, is it breaking the barber client code to go to a different barber in the same shop? Like, are you just supposed to
He got to go to a different shop. He got to go to a different, because that man going to be like, I guess that's just how you was raised.
And we've been going to this barbershop for 15 years. Like, he's been going here since his very first haircut.
You know.
Dudes is more faithful to their barber than their girl in some cases, man.
Listen, because some women are too when it comes to their hair, but then you have women who are chair hoppers.
Well, yeah, I heard about, here's the thing you do, though. And good barbers actually tell you that you need to have more than one barber. You normally need to have like two or three, and just be honest about it. It's just like in a relationship. If you out here on these hoes, you gotta say that shit. That's how, because I had to switch my barbers in. But it was kind of awkward running into my original barber in the gym, and I just got a haircut.
So you got a fresh cut.
I was like, what's up, man?
Like, can't be cheating on the barbers, man.
What's up? But nah, he understood though, man, because he had stopped cutting, and you know, I had to still get my hair cut. But I, you know, I got three barbers, so just switched it up, man. But it's all love, man, you know. I do be a little reluctant to put up, like, dope haircut pictures and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Cause yeah, it's like, me too, bro. You like, my DM's going to start popping.
I'm just going to cash app them some money. What you sending me this for? Well, you know, it was on my heart.
Man, barbers, hey, now that we think about it, bro, barbers are really, like, those are relationships, bro.
Jesus they are. Christ. They are. Yeah,
this has to change.
But here's the thing, though. I can say the barbers that I have make so much money, not to put their business out there, but they, you know, I think they be, you know, yeah. But
haircut minimum $25-$30 now, and I'm not mad at it. But Jesus,
a nigga would be more faithful to his barber than his bitch. I mean, and I'm tripping. Then his lady. The fuck
he's
is
gone.
Wrong with me?
He's
it is
gone.
What it is. Hey, listen. Yeah.
I'm niggerish today. Let me clean it up. I'm sorry.
Well, speaking of being niggerish.
But I'm finna go into the store though, so y'all keep going, but
Trey Songz is in the news today. This has kind of been popping for the past couple of weeks, but I guess today more people came out. Just a brief synopsis. So OnlyFans model Selena Powell, she was actually on the No Jumper podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And she spoke on her encounter with Trey Songz. And it was one of those things that, you know, the situation at hand kind of left her feeling a certain kind of way. But as in most cases, after one person says something, it is not to diminish the situation or anyone has come forward, but you know, as most scenarios, more people started coming forward, and apparently they saying Trey is out here a little Robert Kelly-ish. He's peeing on folks. Is that what am I getting that right?
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
Yeah, I mean the funny one, not the funny one. The irony in that is that's kind of a fetish for some people. Man and woman alike. I'm gonna put my business out there, but you know,
please
how
do
feel about Trey. I'll have to bring somebody on here one day to talk about that.
They got pissed on.
I did not confirm nor deny.
What they say is better. Do they? What's the saying?
The secret is, bro. Here's the secret, bro. You have to do it in the shower, so
in the shower,
like the shower water, bro.
No, I know some people who wanted that. I know some
what
people
the
who.
Fuck?
Yeah, I ain't do it. I just knew who people who was into it.
That's the secret, you know. Women like hot water anyway, so you know, y'all be in the shower cooking noodles.
I really hope that people just watch the YouTube version of this podcast, because my face, like, really says more than what I actually say. This is a fucking say less moment. I want y'all to say less, because this is disgusting.
You don't have any crazy fetishes?
I don't want to be peed on in the shower. Or out
like
of your
toes.
Like, I don't want
I was just about to say, I like fat women with cute feet.
I like toes.
I like fat women that smell like oatmeal cookies.
I believe it. I have a thing for calf muscles.
Oh, okay. You like to lick them, bite them?
That's none of your business.
Oh, well, you bring it up.
We're going to say less, because I'm a lady.
Right on. That's what's
y'all
up.
Y'all are mannish. And
I just said
I'm looking
like
at both of y'all sideways from now on, because... Alan, I can't believe it. I cannot.
Hey, listen. If it's any woman around me that's been around me, you see her in Chuck Taylor's, I did that, okay? I'm just saying. Even today, okay? Even today. So anybody from my past is wearing Chucks today, I did that. Y'all know I used to wear all the Chucks.
That ain't where I thought you was going with it.
Yeah, no, you got to brand them. You got to brand them.
Hell no.
I went there, but I didn't go there.
I see.
Are those the ones that you peed on in the shower?
I don't know what you're talking about. But
Because one in particular, I can believe she
never left. Hey, 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 hey. Simmer
I'm
down.
I'm behaving.
I like to crack jokes during sex and give strange riddles. And if you get that.
I think.
Something is going
wrong.
Go ahead,
buddy. Go ahead.
Huh? You say what? I do. Be straight. Straight jam. Now, Now, if a train left New York. No, that shit really happened though. Hey, I gotta run in the store though. Y'all keep talking.
This is
how are we feeling about Trey? Have you all been keeping up with the story at all? I've heard some Hollywood tales of Tremaine's.
And of course he's denying it. But you know, Keke Palmer came out a while ago with some things that she said about Trey and him kind of being weird and, you know, doing some questionable things. So I wouldn't go as far as say he possibly held her hostage, but I don't know, because Keke ain't really been one to be lying yet. So I believe it.
I mean, Trey has been involved in a few club fights, so it wouldn't be surprising if he was.
Incidents that have to deal with women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. Not to say that he did or did not, but he's been involved in a lot of aggressive situations publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So yep. I don't know. We're gonna pray for Trey.
Pray for Trey.
And,
like...
you know. See where the situation goes. Yeah. Trey, this is not where you want to be, especially right now.
Over the years, so I don't know what he got going on.
This is not where we want to be. Speaking of another incident involving men and women, Tory Lanez and Meg Thee Stallion is still kind of popping. I thought it had kind of died down a little bit, but it picked back up. So,
Meg
got on IG Live. Yeah, Meg told her truth. And we don't know the story.
Right.
But, you know, as of right now, we got to roll with what Meg said. We do know that Meg got shot. We do know that Tory Lanez is the perpetrator. We just don't know what happened. So, you know, I know B, you posed the question. Well, not even really the question, but you made the statement earlier in the week that you wanted to address, you know, like black men or lack of protection, feeling of protection by black men for black women, right?
Right.
And that's been a huge topic. Across the board, but I'm gonna open up the floor on that one. I really want you to dig in because I want to hear.
So from the beginning of this entire situation, Meg was very quiet about the incident. You see on the video when you're watching it from the footage of, I think it was like the helicopter footage or whatever, you can tell that she wasn't really, you know, she was just in survival mode. You know, it was kind of like fight or flight. She wasn't only protecting herself, but she was protecting the man who had just shot her, as well as the other black men who were with them, you know, their entourage or whatever. It has taken weeks for her to even come out and openly say, that nigga shot me, right? So
yep.
Her, you know, the whole thing was, it's crazy that even after the incident took place, I still was more concerned with protecting him from the police than I was more concerned about myself. And that is something that I find that black women do more often than not. It's like, think about it. How many black women are in prisons right now for taking a charge or protecting or not telling on their husbands, boyfriends, sons, brothers, whatever? They taking those charges so that whatever black man can continue on out here in their life. How many black women have been in domestic situations and they choose not to go to the police or whatever the case may be to turn in their abuser. How many Black women have been sexually assaulted or raped by a Black man that they may be familiar with and have never said a word? Like, we are consistently protecting Black men. How many Black women right now are struggling to take care of their children but choosing not to go and file for child support? Like, we continue to protect the Black man and we don't even get half of that reciprocated when it comes to protecting Black women. We never fucking have. You look at these slave movies, which I haven't watched a lot of them, but you see these women falling down on their knees, jumping in front of master before he whips the man. Like, we have been protecting the Black men who sometimes don't deserve for us to protect them for far too fucking long. When are Black women going to receive even just the smallest piece of reciprocation for what we put out when it comes to Black men? When? Tell me before I can know.
Well, I wish I had a response. You know, I've learned over probably the past year, to be honest with you, that I can't speak on this situation as an individual, right? Because it's a macro situation and not a micro. And I think what really made me realize that was when somebody kind of put it in terms of racism, right? Where a white person would say, oh, well, I'm not racist. I have da da da. I have a white friend. I did this, 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 and this, da da da. But then they're not advocating that same energy or effort on a larger scale, right? Everything you said was definitely that I'll agree with. And, you know, as everybody knows, last episode, we were kind of talking about the separation between Black men and Black women. We're not going to get to that this episode. We're going to take a break and jump on that, the next one. But, you know, like I said, I wish I had a response. I can only say that for me personally, I do want, you know, Black women to feel protected on a macro scale. I don't want them to feel like they are. And something that kind of tripped me out about the whole Tory Megan situation, like these ignorant cats are jumping on the internet like, oh, Meg a snitch. It's like, bro.
He fucking shot her. He shot her.
Y'all like, don't know how the streets work and it shows.
He shot her. Like, it was almost like from the beginning of the situation, I saw far too many Black men finding humor in the shit. And that was what was like really pissing me off, because there's nothing funny about domestic violence, number one. Nothing funny about a man of any color shooting a woman, and possibly he could have killed her. There was, you know, I was just disgusted at the lack of compassion for her and her situation. And it, like I've said it before and I'll continue to say it, Black women are the most disrespected human beings on this entire planet. We are disrespected, we are disregarded, and we are very much misrepresented by the men that we so desperately try to uplift and try to uphold. Like, there, it was Black women on the front lines fighting for justice for George Floyd. And, you know, like, we've been out here. And yet and still, we find it funny that a Black man shot a Black woman.
It happens every day, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about the abuse of Black women in any shape, form, or fashion. It's ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous.
I think that one of the most common forms that we see that in is when there are domestic situations. For instance, in St. Louis, there were two Black women kidnapped this past week or last week, over the weekend, something like that, right? So, you know, I said it to my point. I think the most common instance that we see Black women not necessarily being protected is in instances of domestic things like breakups or, you know, infidelity, cheating, things like that, where men feel like they have some type of possession or something over these women, right? Which is complete and total BS, number one. But two, like, who raised you for you to resort to violence because their ego is hurt, bro? Like, you know, like, don't get me wrong, I've been hurt. Like, you know, remember when Martin Lawrence said, what did he say when she told him she wasn't giving no more quality time? He's like, I cracked your motherfucking skull. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, I ain't giving you no more quality time. You know, don't get me wrong. I've definitely felt that emotion. Have I ever followed through? Hell no. For what? Because, you know, I got a fishing rod. I'm going to go throw it and cast it and give me another fish, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's like, bro, like, you cats are wilding, man. Like, and we don't know the situation between, you know, Meg and Tory. Like, we don't know. We don't know if they were dating. We don't know if they were just friends. Right. We don't know if they were working on going to the studio. We don't know, you know. I do have a little insider information that they were, you know, hanging with Kylie that day, which everybody knows is kind of common knowledge. But, you know, Meg is out in L.A. all the time now, so her and Kylie kind of hang. I don't know if they tight or what, but I know somebody to be around, and they like, bro, they cool. Yeah. Which would kind of also explain Kylie being in the WAP video, but we'll talk about that another time. but, you know, like, we don't know the situation, and even still, like, bruh, like, for you to result to the use of a handgun in California. California got some tight gun laws.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not even from here. Like, you're not even from this country.
Tight. Like, in California, you basically can't even carry a pistol unless you're a police officer. Like, they don't have concealed carry laws. Like, you can, but it's so hard to obtain one that you can just walk around with it. Like, they make it nearly impossible, essentially. Yeah. Like, and you out here like that, bro, like, number one, you know you ain't supposed to be out here like that. And the fact that he didn't even think through the situation, like, did he think it was just going to be good? Like, oh, I'm going to let these rounds off, and it's going to be good. And, you know, like, bro, we don't know, but
right.
Well, it's – go ahead, bro.
I was going to say, because a lot was said, and I definitely was just listening. So I kind of – want to rewind because
go ahead.
I said so number one, with this being, we are not a family show, but we have a family air. We're an adult family show, right? So we can agree to disagree on some things.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, definitely shout out to Harlem, and that was some passionate expression, man. And AI, you said something that was very important too. We spoke about things being micro and macro.
Mm-hmm.
And that is somewhat my sentiment. You know, niggas will take a T out of word in a second.
That nigga said sentiment.
Right, sentiment. But it's right. So as far as with black women not being protected on a major scale, I definitely agree. However, one of the things that I say, and this is something I'm passionate about, it definitely is about perspective. It's definitely about facts. You know what I'm saying? Right. We can't leave that out there. The reason I say perspective, though, is because in my life, from my own actions, as well as what I've seen other brothers do, it would be the opposite. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know brothers who went to jail. You know, I'm not going to say what they did, but it was in protection of not only their woman, but women of the neighborhood. If things happen, unfortunate, such as the rape word, and I hate that word, and I'm a man, I don't even like to talk about that shit, but rapists ended up dead or beat the shit out of. And it didn't have to be, oh, this was my girlfriend, this was my cousin. It was a neighborhood thing. And this is something that was in the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. When it came to sisters not being violated, disrespected, so on and so forth, myself and other brothers like me, you know, things, I'm not trying to implicate myself or anybody on a damn show, but things were done. They're not always broadcasted, but things were done. But once again, if being honest, I would have to say that those were micro incidents. You know what I'm saying? Those were micro situations. where they happened in my life and other brothers' life, and we don't play that shit even to this day. But on a global scale, I always talk about, you know, and I won't go too much into the spiritual, but I do always talk about why are our sisters the most disrespected, and why as men, as a collective, why are we so bitch made collectively to let it happen? Because in all races, except ours, all, not some, all, you will not do that shit to their women and not be affected, okay? You know, now, we can go down a rabbit hole of, I think the nicest way to say it, or the coolest way to say it, so we don't get too deep, because we could actually talk about this on a money, power, respect episode, like you said, AI, Harlem. But, you know, this goes back years and years and years of a lot of infiltration, if you will, of people who don't look like us, people who don't have the same culture values as us, and so on and so forth. And rather, people be, well, it was the black woman's fault, it's the black man's fault. No, it's our fault as a collective that we moved away from our principles. You know what I'm saying? And to me, that's the seed for, and this is super simplified what I'm saying, but it's a seed to how these things can happen. But I'm all for if the black woman is disrespected by one of us, and definitely somebody who's not one of us, you know, heads got a roll, man. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't fucking nothing wrong. We're saying this, you know, like, if we the only race, man, if we talk about off with your head, if you disrespect our women or children or my fellow brother, oh, he's being violent, he's this, this, and that. But go do that to the Irish. Go do that to the Italians. Go do that to the Japanese and see what happened to you. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, I know a lot of people don't agree with this, and I've gotten into many fights about this, but the black woman is God. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not finna go down that road. You know, it is a most high. But I always say, the black woman, especially for a black man, that's the first example or the first instance of God that you know. Funny how I put this, like, dashiki mask on and shit, and I just started talking some serious shit. But seriously, man, so, you know, I stand with the black women. I stand with the black brothers, man. And, like, just with all of this shit going on, unity is the key. No more weakness. And I'm with Harlem, man. I see a whole lot of bullshit. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just here to tell you that all black men are not with the bullshit. We just don't get the fucking spotlight. Now, moving on
I'm with you on that.
Now, moving on to, you know, Megan Thee Stallion. Do I have my thoughts about Megan Thee Stallion as an artist? Yes, I do. I think she can flow, definitely. But regardless of anything that I fucking think that's positive or may not be part of groupthink or whatever, it actually hurt me bad when I saw that Megan was shot and people made jokes about it. What fucking kind of sickness? You know, I ain't gonna go too deep into that, but what kind of sickness?
Let it fly, bro.
Is that? Nah, because I want this show to stick around. You know, I be saying, I'm known by Rashad and then my Facebook prison numbers and shit. But nah, I was gonna say that it's a sickness, man. And it's really a reflection of us as a culture. To laugh at something like that, to make jokes about something like that. And I have this saying, and I actually got it from Dave Chappelle, it's funny until it happens to you, until it's your turn, until it's your sister, your mother, your cousin, that get popped and then niggas making jokes about it. It's a sickness. So off with, you know, let me chill out. That shit needs to get regulated as well. I don't know what to say about this Tory Lanez guy. You know what I'm saying? It's fucking horrible. The one thing that's bothering me about this, though, and I'll admit to my ignorance, I don't understand how it was four people in the car, and it's still, salute to Megan for telling her truth, but it's like, it's four people. It's the motherfucker who did the shooting, it's the person who got shot, and two other motherfuckers, and Megan the only person talking?
Well, one of them was the driver, so he's probably been issued an NDA or something at this point, or some kind of gag.
Oh, okay, okay.
And her bodyguard, like, he's alluded to, you know, something about it, but not too much else has really been said about it. But okay. That's how it, I mean, you know, unfortunately, that's kind of how it goes, you know? So, right. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, as Alan has said, but
right.
When you look at the bigger picture, this is not new. It's not something that we haven't experienced before. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, so many Black women, and I can speak from personal experience, oh. I am a survivor of domestic violence. And people still to this day haven't really fully, don't even know, like, who it was, but he's well known throughout St. Louis. I've also been a victim of sexual assault, and I still have yet to expose that person's identity. And he too is very well known and respected in St. Louis.
Yeah. Black man. I'm sorry to hear that.
Like, so, you know, it's something that is, mm-hmm. we do it, and I get it. You know, you don't want to turn nobody over to the police, especially in this climate. I get it. I'm not a police-ass individual myself. You know, I've always even told my son, if you become that type of vile individual to do something where I have to, you know, the justice system is going to get involved, I'll take you out of here myself before I turn you over to the police. But right. It just has to stop. It doesn't help us. And it's just a vicious cycle. And all it does is continue to force our mental well-being to deteriorate because we sit with that shit. Like, that shit really sits with you. Nah, if I was Meg, I would have been singing like a canary. A nigga, you shoot me? Oh, I'm singing like Billie Holiday, bruh.
Well, you know, and I agree. First and foremost, man, I'm sorry that those things happened to you. You know what I'm saying? And that's something never to make light of. And that's why, you know, like I said, with AI saying, you know, micro situations, macro situations, what you just said is more macro, it's more common to hear, you know, yeah. what I mean, which is very unfortunate, man. That fucked me up, because I ain't even know that about you, and we've been tight for years, you know.
Yeah.
And it's sick, and like I said, I'll be open on this show to say that it's motherfuckers I know that are in the grave for doing lesser, you know what I mean, and I just leave that at that. But one of the things, man, and it's a little tricky. It's tricky, man. Like, those need to be more conversation between a Black woman and a Black man. Also, just our, you know, all kind of aspects of our culture. Like, what is it about our culture? Like, and I know, and all of us will have different answers, but when we get into the point that you can get shot and it's funny, you can get shot and it's hilarious, and you can get shot and tell your truth, and a motherfucker look at, man, you implicating yourself because you got shot and you telling.
Stupid, bro.
You wrong. You wrong for telling. You wrong for telling.
Yeah. So it's like, yep. Right, here's the flip side of that. And just looking at it from a critical thinker or just looking at it with an open mind and trying to subdue emotion as much as possible. When we rap about, and I'm not saying this with Megan, I'm just saying in general, when we rap about certain things and portray certain lifestyles and so on and so forth, those things that actually come with it, you know, would make one think, oh, if this happens to you, since you talking it like you talk it, you must walk it like you walk it. So if something happened to you in an entertainment right. world or not, you ain't supposed to say shit. You supposed to go mm-hmm. handle it.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? And that's when I say, you know, shit gets mad convoluted. It gets real foggy and cloudy, but still, I stand with Megan. Like, how the Megan ain't telling on herself? You know, Megan, come on, man. The fuck is wrong with niggas, man? You know, like, I'm a fall.
We just have to normalize protecting men. Black men have to normalize protecting Black women the way that we protect Black men. And again, those are conversations that have to continue between Black men and Black women. You know, not all Black men don't protect, you know, there's very subtle ways that Black men do show honor and protection to Black women. Sitting mm-hmm. outside when you drop her off at home until she gets in the house, and you call her when she's in there to make sure she's in there, you mm-hmm. know. Checking on her mental well-being, or any, you know, there are very small minute things, but then it's the major things that are kind of frustrating to Black women. But again,
I'll say this, like, just on a deeper note, you know, because here's the thing, if you had a conversation, I'm gonna be honest with you, it needs to be a very mature conversation, but it can quickly get immature. Yeah. Because you're gonna have women who feel their way, you got men who feel their way. Like, even with me, I said I disagreed with what you said, but it was based on my perspective and what I've lived, you know. Mm-hmm. But I didn't knock what you said because guess what? Harlem has lived Harlem's life. Rashad has lived Rashad's life. But I can't deny what you said because if you were to say Rashad on a major scale or Black Women Protected, I'd have to say no. I'd have to say you can turn on the TV and see how our women are objectified. You know what I'm saying? And see what we co-sign as women and men now, because we do that collectively. And that kind of pushes my point that when we have that conversation, it's going to be very emotional, but we do need to have the conversations seriously and have, you know, some bottom lines, almost on some drop squad type shit at this point. But let me not say more. Sometimes you got to snatch niggas off the street, man. You know what I'm saying? Put them in a circle. And all my people from the 80s and 90s know what that means. Niggas used to get their ass whooped. Yeah. What you just call her? You called her a bitch? Oh, okay, homie. All right. Because I could tell you the person who violated one of my siblings where he at.
We're not gonna incriminate ourselves on this episode.
It's public information. It's public.
My internet breaking up.
No.
I'm on U City Wi-Fi today.
Oh, I have good news. Spectrum is coming by on Thursday.
Yes.
So grateful for that.
I know, right? Yeah. Great news. Yeah. I think that, you know, we're touching on pieces of the Money, Power, Respect series for sure. We're gonna probably bring this one back with but you know, as far as Meg and Tory are concerned, I actually met Meg last year. One of my guys is her label rep. Mm-hmm. And she's stupid cool. And, you know, I don't know what these other cats are talking about, but Megan Bill, boy, you know what I mean? All that they talking about, hey. You know,
yeah, she ain't no good girl.
Nah, fam, hey, you know, and some cats just have to understand that they just not built for that, bro. And if you ain't built for that, keep your mouth shut, bro.
Everybody can't climb that tree. Everybody can't climb that tree.
Mm-mm.
Nah, yo, wow.
They can't do it. Hey, I'm just saying, you know. But Meg, you know, keep your head up. We've yet to hear anything from Tory's end, really, or what's going to happen with that or the case or whatever. I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, somebody got shot, so there's criminal charges and everything that are going to be filed. You know, we just don't.
Well, I heard he was deported back to Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I heard they sent him back to Canada.
Well, his career is over. So.
Yep.
He's... Unless he get with OVO, but Drake ain't messing with him.
He's done. Jeez.
Tory's done.
He's done.
Damn.
Speaking of cooked goose.
Uh oh. What? Who cooked?
Kind of like that chicken, that dry ass chicken. Tim from Sweetie Pies. He's cooked.
Yeah. This situation is probably near and dear to us because it's the crib, right?
Indeed. So many familiar names and faces and situations.
Yeah, I'm kinda outdone. I don't know Tim personally. I we've spoken, we're socially cool. You know, I know a lot of people that surround him know very well, and you know, the restaurant, and just this is like a scene. It's not even a scene. This is one of them unsolved mystery episodes where the dude come on with the scary music and the smoke.
Robert Stack.
Yeah.
And
this joint is getting better. And, you know, pardon my choice of words there, but this is getting more interesting. Almost seems by the day, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like a Law and Order episode, like the original Law and Order. Not SVU Law and Order, but like the original.
The doom. Mm-hmm. That one.
Yep. Yep, or maybe like a Criminal Minds episode where they're trying to figure out, you know, like what happened. I am flabbergasted at the way that everything is unfolding. But as you, if you were like a watcher of the show and you remember, you put pieces together. So like I saw a clip the other day of, I guess, at one point, Tim and Andre and Charles had gotten into a physical altercation because did you see that? They didn't do
something. Yeah, I saw that clip.
Yeah, so Andre and Charles went to go tell Miss Robbie, and Miss Robbie went to go deal with Tim, and that was when she fired him the first time. And so it's kind of like, I don't know. As more and more information comes out, now we're finding out that he has a $1 million policy on her as well.
Has that been confirmed? I keep seeing that. Oh. Is that for sure? Or is that we?
I've seen it from several sources that he also has a $1 million policy on her as well. And that's I tried to really stay away from like the comments, because I feel like it's something that is so close to us and it hits home for a lot of us. But also just out of respect, just being a little bit transparent, I have like the hugest girl crush on Tim's cousin, Mo, that was on the show. So, you know, I try to like steer clear of the BS just because, you know, it's just a respect thing, I feel.
Yeah.
But Thank Bad you. Body Built Tim, he is a sociopath.
Yeah. You know, and before we go deeper off into that, as of right now, these are just charges, and there have been no convictions handed down. But the fact that these are Fed charges makes it a little different, even though there has been no conviction yet. But, you know, these are just charges, so we want to be clear there. So as of right now, everything is allegations.
Yeah. Well, shit, you go Feds, you get convicted.
Oh, you're going to get 98% conviction rate if you go Fed, baby.
Shit. Where is Carolyn Mason to put all the pieces together?
I don't know. I think that shout out to my homie Don Calloway. If you're not familiar with Don, he's definitely a St. Louis native, but he's out in DC doing this thing. Yeah, he's doing this thing politically crazy right now. He's a consultant. But you know, he made a post yesterday, and he just kind of drew out the disparity in the fact that Andre was killed, and you know, the perpetrators were pretty much kind of leaning on the fact that it was done in North City, St. Louis, and they kind of used that to their advantage, that it was just kind of a business as usual type deal. You know what I'm saying? This happened in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's kind of crazy that's kind of what was the thought, because you at some point people had to sit down with themselves and say, you know what, I need some bread. What can I do to get some bread real quick? And you know what I'm saying? Like it, oh, I got it type deal, you know, like, man. Right. And again, these are all, as of right now, these are charges. But once your name lands on an indictment, it ain't too many people that get out good on that. So anybody that's been, you know how you snatch out on those. So
I'm just, I don't know. Anybody who can do something as calculated and callous as that, and I am very rarely surprised by things like this, because I am like the true crime enthusiast. I listen to the true crime podcast. My TV is always on the ID channel, so I'm not easily like bothered.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can do something like that, knowing that you're guilty, and then mourn this person's death with their family, you are a special kind of effed up in the head. You a different type of crazy.
Right.
And this was disturbing, because it was the smile on the mugshot for me. it was the smiling in the mugshot for me that was like, come on, man. Like, really, you... I don't know how much more Miss Robbie can take. She was just on Instagram arguing with the baby mama a couple months ago.
Yeah. And Tim actually made a response to that.
He did.
That video. Yeah, that video's kind of surfaced again and kind of floating around.
About his psychopathic behavior.
I'll send you the video. But he basically just kind of addressing the situation with his son and mother.
Oh, I saw
he's
it.
Full
it
of shit. He's full of shit. He's full of shit. He's full of shit. He's full of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all know. I mean, I'm just gonna keep it 100. Y'all know Janae is one of my best friends. They think it's full of shit, man. I'm back out.
I 100% agree with you, Daryl. Like, I've seen, you know, people commenting and making comments in regards to her, and I'm just like, that woman has literally moved on with her life. And it's perfectly fine. She hasn't really said too much of anything. You know, people troll the comments and stuff like that. And that's what's disgusting. Because, like, he has two sons. Your kids gonna see this. Like, it makes my stomach hurt. It's really disgusting. It's very disturbing.
Yeah, it is. It is, definitely that. I mean, if you're not familiar with the situation, you know, you're going deep into it now. Tim Norman from This Is Sweetie Pies is caught a federal indictment on a murder for hire for allegedly arranging the murder of his nephew, Andre, back in 2016. It's a lot. It's a lot. I think the bigger issue for me is the fact that regardless of the relationship, this is somebody that probably trusted him. That probably, you know, if he had something going on, you know, they may not have talked or whatever, but I know that you're a safe haven, right? You're a safe space. And I think another big issue for me is the fact that his life was so disposable. For that right. Little chunk of change, like, you know, 450 grand, you know, let's be real, you know, that's a little chunk of change.
A lot of us can say we knew Tim, so on and so forth. You know, I met the brother in the gym, and I just remember, like, just to hear the stories, because this is the wildest, but it's other things that I've heard, but yeah. That ain't my business, you know what I'm saying? But I'm looking at it like, now we be in the gym just lifting, dude, be super cool, this, that, and the third, and to be knowing, like, or to know, damn, I'm working out with a nigga that got, like, the greatest disregard for life, apparently his, definitely others, but possibly his as well. You know what I mean? And it is just, it is sad. Definitely my heart goes to the brother and lost his life and to the family.
For sure. But
this is fucking bizarre.
Yeah,
this is bizarre. You know what? And I'm not saying this to be insensitive to anybody, but if your ass make it to New Year's, you need to buy yourself something fucking extravagant, because 2020
taking people out here,
man, nigga. Like, did we even have a summer from the obvious stuff that's going on to just all this stuff that's coming out? Oh my God! And it's an election year.
Man, I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to swing it, but I'm just like.
That's a whole nother, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Back to the main thing, man.
Like, you good?
My, you know, my heart is with young brother and the family, and it is just, it's crazy, man. And like, you know, AI and I were talking off air, and AI, if you don't care, if you don't mind, please elaborate. But we were just talking about the rabbit hole syndrome with this whole situation, man, where it just seems like. It's starting here, but it seems just to keep getting deeper and deeper.
Yeah, before this is all over.
Right.
Yeah, before this is all over. We gonna see some familiar names and faces, and we gonna be in even more shock.
AI, can you break down for people? I know some people is emailing us asking us, since you're in insurance, break down, like, what how this could even happen for to an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Just kind of
and
on the real financial side, like breaking it down for people.
Yeah. But AI, yeah, before you do that, can you, because right on, D, but can you do it how you told me when we talked Saturday night? Because you broke it down so dope.
Like,
it was just like, oh, shit.
That
yeah.
one does not sell Primerica insurance, okay?
No,
you broke that shit down dope, though, man. Like, damn. Like, he put it into, like, very
Negro layman's
terms. Right.
Yeah, I got you. So, for those of you that don't know, I'm a DJ, radio personnel, and everything else, but by day, I work in finance and insurance. Life insurance has been a big part of what I've done over the past 5 years. I'm licensed in Illinois and Missouri. So, you know, that's just my background, in case y'all like, So I'm going to tell you. When I first even heard of this case or this indictment, I instantly had questions, like from a professional standpoint. My first and biggest question was, how was he able to take out a policy on his nephew? Because in the state of Missouri, if you are 18 or older, you have to be the owner of your policy. So being the owner of your policy means that you are the individual that the policy is written for, and you own it. It is your policy, your responsibility. Now, your parents or guardians or mother, father, uncle, anybody can pay for this policy. They can pay for it. Anybody can pay for it. That person is going to be called the payor, P-A-Y-O-R, the payor. That can be anybody. Beneficiaries can be who you elect. So you as the owner have to elect your beneficiaries. You can elect anybody you like because you own your policy. Now, in order to obtain, I'm going to use the people that are on this podcast, right? I know Shad, I know B. I can't go tomorrow and write up life insurance applications on them for me. I can't do that. I can't say, you know what? I want to write a life insurance policy on B. So why can't I do that? Because I have no insurable interest. It's called insurable interest. I have no insurable interest on B whatsoever. We have a podcast. We're not clocking a lot of dollars, so we don't have any type of business arrangement, anything like that. So I can't write up a policy on her without her permission. And generally, that consent has to be notarized. So she has to give me written consent to have a policy on her, right?
Right.
So I go and take out this policy on B, right? And they like, oh, well, what you taking this policy out? Oh, well, you know, B, that's my girl, man. You know, we cool, we kick it. We do this, this, this. Oh, okay, cool. So you're going to take this policy out on her. So here's the next step, right? Those policies then go into underwriting. In underwriting, you have to be able to prove your medical status currently. The underwriters are probably going to check your medical history. You have to be able to prove your income, address, all kind of stuff. Like personal and private information has to be confirmed through that process, right?
Right.
So that means generally the underwriters are going to be calling you and in contact with you because you're the owner of the policy. So this is how it works in layman's terms, right? Life insurance is a guarantee that a company will pay your beneficiaries in the event of your death. That's all life insurance is, right? And if I came to one of you tomorrow and I was like, hey guys, can one of y'all promise that y'all give my family $500,000 if something happened to me? You're not just going to tell me yes. You're going to be like, why? Like, are you planning on dying tomorrow? Like, you know what I'm saying? So for those of you that always wonder why, because people cuss me out all the time. Well, why is it taking so long in underwriting? Well, why do they need to know this? Well, they're promising your family or whoever your loved ones are, your beneficiaries, that they're going to give them X amount of dollars in the event of your death. We kind of want to make sure it's not going to happen tomorrow or next year, right? So, you know, when this went down, the news article said that there was a lot of information missing. So it's saying now, the indictment is saying that the money was never even paid out at all. And that was for lack of information. But the policies were approved. my biggest question now is, how did those policies even get approved, right? Because you have to go through a medical process. So that means that a nurse has to come see you, or you have to go see a nurse. They got to draw your blood, take your urine, all kind of stuff, blood pressure. Who did these tests?
Right.
Was it Andre that did these tests? Or was it a faux Andre that, you know what I'm saying? Like, who did these tests? Who confirmed this information? Why was his income never confirmed? Like, how was this stuff even pushed through? Like, how did this stuff happen at all without any, like, who, you know? And from a professional standpoint, that's why I said, you know, like, we were talking about this. That's why his agent, Wally, is in trouble. You know, people said, well, where did the mail and wire fraud charge come from? All mail and wire fraud means is that you communicated over phone, computer, whatever the case may be, and you also accepted some type of monetary payment. So that's all mail and wire fraud consists of. The fraudulent part of it is what makes it part of the conspiracy, because you knowingly, well, I can't say that because I don't know the case, but you probably knowingly push this stuff through. So, you know, I wholeheartedly believe in life insurance. This probably happens more than we'll ever know. But the process as a whole, it's federally, life insurance is federally regulated. And the reason for that is because of 9/11. So if you're not familiar with what happened, well, I mean, everybody knows what happened 9/11, but what happened prior to 9/11 is a lot of the individuals that were involved in the actual attacks took out huge insurance policies right before the 9/11, you know, massacre, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
So their families were paid millions and millions of dollars. Federal government didn't like that too much. So they said, whoa, we need to start keeping an eye on life insurance. Right. So they created an act that now regulates life insurance. So that's why life insurance is very heavily federally regulated now. Just do right. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't look at your people as a come up, man.
That's a fact.
I just, you know, life is very valuable, man. And you know, I've sat down with individuals that have told me, oh man, I ain't getting no life insurance. I don't want nobody to get paid off of me dying. They might try and do this, and this. And they're like, bro, if you live in that kind of life, I don't want to talk to you anyway. So, right. You know, like, but I still have a lot of questions professionally. I still have a lot of questions because, you know, and then my thing is, if this $1 million policy does exist on his mother, like, where did that come from? Who wrote that? And I think we probably have a good idea, but, you know, like.
Oh, man, don't say that. I hope
I'm
not.
Legitimately curious.
I'm
curious.
You too, man.
These are all charges. I want to keep saying that these are all charges and allegations. Nobody's been convicted yet.
Right.
But you know,
I hope not, man. I hope that policy is 10 years old, like, you know, knowing that she's older or whatever. Like, I hope, oh man, it's too much. I think it's the familiarity and the home. But I can't, that's one.
I like that one. No, we make words on this show, we make words.
I think it's just the closeness, like, that it hits the home. Like, you know, I used to be out at the studio, you know what I'm saying, like, with the agent kicking it back in the day. So it hits too close to home, and it's just like, you don't want any of it to be true, but it's just like, well, damn, here we are. There's a federal indictment. This ain't no St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department shit. Like,
this ain't no St. Anne shit.
Yeah,
right.
This is not, you know, this ain't the U City Police Department. This is the feds.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to all those that were affected. We're going to stay tuned for this one, but I'm telling y'all, and people keep hitting me like, how you know it's going to be more people? I don't know anything for a fact or for a certain. So let me, I'm saying that right here on commentary, okay? Right, I don't know right. anything for a certain, but this is what I do know. Dude was too well known, and we know this city.
So, exactly. We are here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It is. I was going to say, because this St. Louis, saying? That's how we know. Because this, yeah. this is St. Louis. That is yes. That's how we know.
Their family is too high profile for nobody to know nothing. I'm not saying it's family members, but you know, right. it's just this. Their family's too high profile for just a few people to have been involved in what was going on.
Yeah. Exactly. Or it had been this long before anything has come out. That too is interesting to me.
Yeah. Apparently, old girl used to dance the bottoms up before she moved to Memphis. Like a lot of cats were like, "Bro, she used to be."
Yes, people kept saying that at one point she was on the show, but I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I didn't know her, recognize her, nothing. But apparently, she's from the crib and she used to dance the bottoms up. So I was like, "Hey,
she'll be bottoms up for sure." In prison.
Yeah.
Probably in Pekin, Illinois is where she's going.
Does anybody have any final thoughts? Just in general, the situation made me feel all somber.
You said it best, bro, where it's just like, it's just one of those things where, you know, people outside of St. Louis, you know, it's nationwide news, man. And you do have people like, said that before we found out about the producer.
And, I did, bro.
He did. Yeah. He did.
And, I did.
And it's still that feeling is there, like, because there's still certain people you haven't heard about. And I don't know if, you know, we always have wonderful conversations. You know, we get all warm up on before we start the show. So I don't know if we want to talk about it on the air, but we did. We kind of had some conspiratorial conversation. Harlem definitely was rocking it. I'm a dry snitch on you. So Harlem definitely had us like, I didn't think about that. So whether she want to tell you or not, it's up to her. But what she said, definitely, if it is true, this definitely going to be on the Lifetime Network by this time next year.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely going on the ID channel, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gonna be on a podcast. It's already made its way to TikTok, to the true crime TikTok.
Right, Tasha with a K, or Tasha K, or whoever she. I saw it on her show.
Yeah, like for sure, it's going to be because it's too high profile of a situation. But I definitely do think that it's going to make its way to some type of ID channel type. Situation probably not Lifetime, but it could also end up being like a rip from the headlines on like one of the crime shows that are scripted, because it's common, not for Black people though.
Yeah,
that's the thing,
and that's real. That's real.
We that's real. Don't do that's a good
shit
point.
Like that.
Yeah. What do we do now?
I've watched enough, like I said, true crime to know. We don't do shit like that.
Well, we actually have to have life insurance to kill people for it.
There you go. Exactly. There you go. A lot of people don't have life insurance. Alan, I do have a question, though. Can I have policies on my baby daddies?
If they give you their consent, yes, you can.
Is it over a certain amount that I have to have their consent, or is it just overall?
If they give you their consent, like I said, in most cases, most companies are going to want notarized consent. So this ain't just no, because see, the thing about it, right? If I say, yeah, and I'm just using you since you're asking, right? And you come, you say, yeah, I want to get a policy on my baby daddy. And you have some random dude come sit down and talk to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he came. No.
Right. I get it. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I was just wondering if that was a thing, because it is.
It's very common.
Yeah.
It's
obviously, being married, I do. I have a policy on my husband, but you know, I don't. But I was just wondering, because I've heard people say, "I'm gonna get a policy on my baby daddy." Blah blah blah. You don't even know his social security
number. It's actually very common. That's a very common situation. Very common.
Okay.
Black, white, Asian, it don't matter.
Yeah, for sure. You know,
how was he able to get so much money on a dude that had no paper?
That's a question.
That's the problem.
You know, like, I mean, 400, generally, this is generally, any policies, anywhere from 50 to 100,000 is where you're going to start having to get medical tests and, you know, certain things done. Generally, right. Now that's very general. Don't say, oh man, AI said that if you just do this. No. Every company is different. Every policy is different. Every underwriting process is different. But I'm telling you that generally, because I've worked for 3 life insurance companies at this point, generally, around a 50,000 and up, you know, is where you're going to have to start going through those medical tests and, you know, answer certain questions and whatever. 450,000, bro, that's a lot of money. No company is going to approve a policy. Well, I can't say that because I guess it's been done, but no company is going to just let that. You're not going to call them and say, hey, I need this $450,000 policy. And they're going to be like, okay, here you go. Like, it's a process. That's why I'm like, man.
Yeah. And so I have a question for you, AI. And it's, I like to ask dumb questions because I always know I will get smart answers, okay? So this is all about you know, implications. So is it any way, you know, okay, so you have the agent who, you know, did his magic and made this thing somewhat go through, even though it didn't go all the way through. Mm-hmm. But is it any way that the actual company itself can get hit up in any shape, form, or fashion, or does it fall just on the agent who represents the company?
So that's a great question. I'll give you just kind of a roundabout answer because I can't answer it specifically because it just depends on the company.
Okay.
But most companies have compliance departments and compliance officers, and they are to alert the feds in instances of certain things happening. And I don't foresee this not being one of those situations where they just let it slide. You know, like it's probably been under investigation for a long time.
Right, right.
And, you know, they were just kind of able to put some pieces together because they said Operation Legend is what helped them solve it, you know, whatever. But, you know, you have to think, people are like, well, St. Louis City didn't solve it. Like, St. Louis City does not have the resources to solve a murder for hire crime, dog. Like, they just don't.
They don't.
Because, like, y'all, like you said,
they literally took it as this was like some North City shit. Yes. You know, you talked about how what his Facebook page looked like with guns and stuff like that. And they was just like, oh, well, it was just another shooting. His right. grandmother never felt like that. She said that so many times. She said, I mm-hmm. do not feel like this was random. I don't feel like this was just gun violence. She was like, somebody called him and lured him out. And here we go. And look at it.
Y'all gotta let up on St. Louis police, bro. You know, and not what? For the reasons that we're protesting. Yeah. Right now, but just, I mean, these boys are shooting up bang bang every night. There's no way they're gonna solve everything. People are not telling. We don't got enough cameras. We don't got enough witnesses.
They don't solve anything anyway. If I was to go and tell the police that I seen Lil John John shoot Lil Mookie down the street, they still ain't gonna arrest him. Why?
Well,
they
because
they don't
do it. You gotta go sit on the stand, and you're not willing to do that because. My point. People gotta. If you not going to stand up,
and that is a mentality. And they know you got dropped off, and you were smelling like Krispy Kreme. Well, tricky situation, man.
It is.
That's a community conversation.
Man, that's a community conversation. Yeah. And as I said, we still protesting. And I just touched that real quick, man, because we just touched this, but another black man got shot.
Oh, my God.
Yep, and he is paralyzed from the waist down.
Yeah, yeah. That's
shot in front of his children.
Yeah.
Man. Because we still, it's still justice for Breonna. So. Let's not.
I was just going to say the cops still killed Breonna Taylor. Still free.
Yeah.
Yeah, still justice for Breonna. And it's still George Floyd and still Trayvon Martin. It's still Michael Brown. It's I can go on.
I can't say what I want to say. I don't get us banned or lose another episode.
We probably was getting ready to say the same thing.
Y'all know what I want
to
say. Y'all know what I want to say.
Yeah, I feel you, Harlem. I don't want to get us banned either. Banded it.
let's tap on out, y'all. Let's bow out gracefully on that.
Ding, ding, man.
Indeed.
Holler at everybody, man. Commentary, intellectual black versation, episode number 9. We appreciate y'all. You know, wherever you are. If you're listening, we appreciate it. If you're a steady listener. Whoever this dude is going in on B, man.
Manny, what's his name? Hold on, let me see. Manny Simpson. Yeah, he's upset. He must be.
We need to have a conversation with Manny.
Oh,
dang. So Manny is not taking you to Ruth's Chris, is what you're saying?
No, he's not. I don't want Ruth's Chris anyway. But if I did, he probably couldn't afford it.
Come on. What restaurants you like? What you like? What restaurants?
I am, you know what, contrary to what people believe about me, I'm actually very simple.
What was that word?
I enjoy going to Mr. Sushi down the street on Olive. I really do enjoy that. I enjoy going to Mi Ranchito. Okay. I enjoy going to Chan Hua. I am very easy to please. I enjoy a good fish plate from Gourmet Soul on a Friday. I'm very easy to please.
Now you know if Manny looking for you, you just let him know where you can find you, right?
Yeah, Manny like Friday.
Friday.
No, he'll get beat up because
we just playing, Manny.
He really tried to
come for me, and I'm used, and I cannot wait until episode 10 pissing men like that off, because it shows me their true colors. I'm not interested in building anybody like a Build-A-Bear. So you either gonna be able to add value, but you're not gonna be able to subtract, because I'm already self-made, and I will continue to stand in that, and I won't apologize for that. I want to apologize for being, you know, for wanting nice things, because I can buy nice things for myself. So, you know, I say to Manny and anybody else who got offended by the last episode, I don't really fucking care.
Okay, well, you know, because at the end of the day, she's a real woman of St. Louis.
Exactly.
If you want to get give any more, if you want to give me shot or be the smoke, man, feel free to log on to our YouTube comment.
I don't want no smoke. I don't want no problem with nobody.
Well, I mean, we ain't got to have the smoke. You know, it's a figure of speech.
Nah,
I would put it in a pipe and smoke it and blow it out.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll show you, nigga.
Just a little bit, because I'm back at work, but I have a little bit of time.
Can we bring Manny on the show? You think he'll want to come on?
I don't even know where he's. You can't go to his page or email. You know,
we can
look up his page on, I guess, on Facebook. And be like, hey man, I know it's you.
Well, obviously he's a fan of the show, because he couldn't wait to comment on the full video. Like, the clip is what set him off. So, real talk.
We appreciate you, bro. Keep listening.
We really do. For good, bad, real or indifferent, talk. We appreciate that you pay attention to what we're talking about here at I forgot the name of our show. What's our show again?
Commentary.
I was about to say intellectual black conversation. It's commentary. God damn it. I'm old.
Rashad was on the, he went on the north side, got a little sweet. He was drinking a Coke 45.
Yeah. Hey, what up, D-Roy? Yeah.
He was drinking a Coke 45.
Because I'd be so used to saying intellectual black versation. What the fuck is this? Oh, commentary. Okay. My bad.
You're good.
I'm playing with y'all. I'm playing.
Man, y'all know where to hit us up. We got the email. Check us out on YouTube. Facebook commentary discussion group is the name of the page. So feel free to come in, holler at us there. We will be back.
Y'all should go and turn around we'll next week. Y'all should need to go and come back next week since y'all, you know, y'all been fumbling.
Oh, thank you.
I'm putting B in charge, bro. I'm putting B in charge. B is going. She's going to handle the calendar, and she's just going to tell us, and we got to be there, bro.
I like that.
Hey, yo, yeah, we should get some shirts made that says Harlem B for president. I don't know. I was just thinking about
it. You know what? I think it's time
Harlem B for president. Hey. But when we make some money off that motherfucker, we make some money off of it, just remember that. I said it. Harlem B for president. I'm telling you.
Why?
Well, until I move into the White House, they can find me at The Interrupted Black Girl on Instagram. And I can be reached via email at blackgirlsinterrupted@gmail.com.
Rashadism. I'm not finna spell it, but you can find me everywhere. There you go.
I am Alan I. In your face. I am A-L-L-E-N-E-Y-E on my social media handles. And I'm back on Twitter a little bit now, so I get it popping there. I went viral like a couple weeks ago on Twitter, actually. So that was pretty fun.
Grow up.
I mean, it was, you know, Twitter is so easy. All you gotta do is get them a couple of retweets in, and once we get going, it's going. So I don't know. I think my record so far has been I was getting mentions for 48 hours because I made a joke about dudes that sit home and play video games all day. So.
I also logged on to Facebook earlier and saw a post that you made. I'm not gonna go into it, but you are hilarious. I just really want you to know that. And you're also extremely weird for drinking plain ass iced tea.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
I drink unsweetened iced tea on the regular.
Yeah, it was the I can't wait to stand in front of my homie New Whip with the fly outfit and my merch to take a pic and caption it, blessings. I'm sick of you. You are out of control.
Oh, you got a merch.
Out of control.
Here, let me put my merch on.
Lord have mercy. See?
Put my merch on.
My merch.
We put my merch on. Yeah. So, look, I'm going to tell you like I tell all the homies, okay? Skinny jeans and AirPods in your pocket and keys and a wallet and all that don't mix. They just don't mix. They don't mix. So you have to carry a merch to keep your lines, your silhouette going. You can't, you know, no. You can't have skinny jeans, your AirPod case sticking out your pocket, you know, all that. And then you got keys in there. You got lumps everywhere, you know. People can read my credit card number. I can't do that.
So you're a mercenary.
You know what? It is time to go.
Mercy, mercy.
Lamborghini mercy. Yeah.